Welcome to Feats and Fables. We appreciate your company as we delve into our 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast. Join the conversation on social media at Feats and Fables.
And don't forget to follow us to adventure.
Previously on Feats and Fables, we've determined that in Waterdeep, no good deed goes unpunished. Instead of getting paid for rescuing Floon, Volo gave our adventurers the deed to Trollskull Manor, a former inn in the North Ward. Everybody knows that the two best days of owning an inn are the day you buy it and the day you sell it. They're calling themselves the Trollsbane Hoteliers Consortium. Do they have a ghost of a chance to refurbish this inn despite the help from the former resident? Already the sharks, I mean the guild representatives, are starting to circle. The matter of the contract for who owns Trollskull Manor is still weighing on many of our adventurers' minds. While Khafra has the contract in his possession, all five of our heroes are necessary to get it signed by Kyleen Silmerhelve, the magistrate, to prove you have ownership. As we open, we see our adventurers milling about in the first floor of the Trollskull Alley Inn.
So Maddie's going to be over at the bar flipping through this book of wood that was sent to our front door during the meeting.
And when Malagar sends you a book of wood, you always have to look at it askance first.
Corbin, why do you suppose Malagar sent us a book of wood?
I don't know. I think maybe he's trying to embarrass us in some unusual way.
Malagar's heart is generally in the right place. I imagine he is trying to embarrass us, but I think he's probably also trying to help us lay out choices for making the bar look nice.
Well, the man from down the street said that our bar was already pretty nice. It just needed a bit of elbow grease and spit.
Maybe he was thinking of doing like a wood paneling motif all around. Make it feel very 1370s in here with all the wood paneling.
Oh, you could be right.
How retro?
I do like retro.
Oh, Malagar! Jesus. Thanks for sneaking up on us like that. Keeping your hand in?
Of course. By now you should know that I enjoy sneaking up on people.
It is kind of your lifestyle, that's true.
It rather is. Oh, I see the Book of Wood arrived. I'm very excited about this.
Why did you have someone send us a book of wood? Are there any other surprises we should be expecting?
I think there were some carpet selections that were coming in, paint chips, tile work. Yes. Have you seen this place? It's awful.
It's not so bad. No, we spent all day cleaning up, at least. Getting the cobwebs out and such.
So you have to look at it and ask yourself, would you pay money to stay here? And I wager the current answer is no.
Don't you think you're being a little bit, I don't know, premature? We haven't even signed the...
Signed the what?
Malagar, get the door.
Oh, yes.
There's footsteps upstairs.
Listen, Ghost, if you want to talk to us, just come down here and talk to us like an adult.
No, wait, maybe it's a code. Maybe he's trying to do a code to us.
Well, we've left a nice fresh layer of dust on the bar. If he wants to leave us a message, he can do it in plain common.
It's true. And you better hurry, because we can't have that dust there when we open.
Anyway, Malagar, we haven't even signed the paperwork for the place yet. Don't you think we should be getting that done before we start picking out carpet samples?
What paperwork?
We're not actually the legal owners yet.
Oh.
We are squatters.
Technically, yes.
Right, because we have to clear the place out.
No, because we have to get the paperwork signed that Khafra has.
Where's Khafra?
Oh, yeah. He went to work today for some reason.
He's been chatting about it all night, don't you remember?
I think Corbin was pointing out that Coffer is probably going to have to resign that job if he wants to spend time getting this in running.
No matter. I think we actually have an additional partner. I'm going to take these paint chips and see what the ghost feels as the bright color of off-white.
Ooh, I am excited, yes.
Yes, yeah, so assuming...
ghost import.
Look at this. Eggshell, off-eggshell, underdone eggshell. I mean...
I'm partial to ivory myself.
Oh.
They all look white to me.
That white is slightly bluer. That white light is slightly yellower.
Yes.
Or maybe are all just a little
side. Just hold them side by side. You can tell the difference.
Let's take them upstairs, shall we?
Well, just because the noise is coming from upstairs, I prefer to think of the ghosts as all around us all the time.
Just remember, Malagar, we want the colors to flow.
I'm pretty sure a ghost can help us with that sort of thing. Come, shall we? I grab up the book of paint chips and walk upstairs.
So on the way, Kafra is going to stop with the local Guild of Magists and Protectors and pick up all the things he had transferred over earlier in the day.
Sure. You know from your introduction to the Watchful Orders of Magists and Protectors that they have chapter houses all over the city. And surely there are several in the North Ward. There's one not too far from Troll Skull Manor. And when you get to the front, all you see is some ferocious-looking gargoyles around a very plain, unassuming door.
Kafra will look around, look for another sleeping gnome or dwarf or something, and then resign himself that he's going to have to figure out what the shtick is here and just walk forward towards the door.
All right, so, I mean, there's plenty of passerby. It's still a relatively social hour in Waterdeep, and many of people are taking a post-dinner perambulation through the city. The fading heat of fall is of late summer is reflected back in the cobblestone, so it's really very nice in the city right now. A faint breeze skirls across the way. You see the stars clear over the head, and the waning moon lights up the area quite well, in addition to all the streetlights in the area. And you don't see somebody that seems to be the door creature for this particular chapter house, but as you walk towards the door, one of the gargoyles flexes a wing in front of your passage.
Oh, I wasn't sure if it was going to be the left one or the right one. Congratulations, you surprised me.
The other one turns around and says, "It's both."
Well, now I'm doubly surprised.
What's your name?
I am Kafra Tanab, Magistrate and Protector's member of number 71998743 69, and I have a parcel to collect.
4369. A moment.
And it goes flap, 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 and it flies up to the top of the building. And in under 2 minutes, a cheerful-looking grandmotherly woman with dark ebony skin and a colorful scarf around her hair comes to the door and says, "Oh, I hear you have something that you're here to pick up, Mr. Tanab."
"Yes, that would be the case."
"Please, do come in."
"And you are? You have me at a disadvantage."
"Ah, you must be new to this area. I am Argia Sinris."
"It is quite a pleasure, Lady Sinris."
"Well, please come in."
Don't mind if I do.
And it looks like just a very pleasant study. It's got green leather chairs, pictures of famous magi of Waterdeep, like you see Algarian pictured in, you know, a spot with a special light on it. Standard kind of stuff. "If you'll wait here, just a moment, please."
"But of course."
She trots off, and the gargoyle comes back in a moment later carrying a heavy box. "Please, if you'll put it there, dearie." Gargoyle sets it down in front of you.
"There you go."
"I was actually rather hoping that I could get assistance getting it into a wagon outside."
The gargoyle, like with a grating sound of stone, turns around to look at Argeria, and she nods.
"Thank you very much."
Oh, no worries. We're always happy to serve mages of our order.
I'm always happy to serve the order.
Excellent. You're such a dear thing. She opens the door, and the gargoyle lifts up the heavy box and lumps its way outside.
Great.
In a particularly lumpy gargoyle way.
Yes, but Coffer doesn't have to carry it, which is great for Coffer's back and or legs.
Yeah, I would like to see Coffer pick it up, actually.
I would not like that thing, so we are in an impasse. Thankfully, there's a gargoyle here. So Coffer will lead it over to the wagon and get the gargoyle to put it on the back of the wagon, and then get back up with the wagon driver and be like, yo, because I don't like... Coffer's not sure what you tip a gargoyle, because it's not like they're going to buy anything. And he doesn't have any, like, live rats or anything, so...
It just climbs up on the pedestal next to the door and kind of moves its butt around until it gets comfortable and then assumes a position where it looks exactly like a statue.
Thanks for everything, buddy.
It doesn't even blink.
Well, that's fine. We should go.
The wagon driver kind of looks at you, looks at the gargoyle, looks at you, looks at the gargoyle, shrugs, decides not to ask any questions, and clucks his tongue at the horses. Come on, let's go! And speeds you down the road towards the Troll Skull Manor.
Great.
Oh, as well.
It is dark as the inside of a black cat in a coal mine upstairs. The tattered curtains have been drawn to block out most of the street light from all these windows. And when you go into the common room, there's a window on this side of it, on the north side of it. That's a big picture window, and it has kind of delicate and really relatively intricate leaded glass panes. So it's pretty, and it kind of gives you a fractal view of the city as it's reflected through all the beveled glass. But it's so dirty and smeary, and the curtains have been pulled in front of it. It's just a dim glow. You're in a dark, empty room, no furniture.
Malagar will go over and, really? I mean, even for me, I'll throw the curtains open.
All right, you see kind of a fractured view of the city. There's plenty of street lights in this area.
Now,
you see the moon overhead.
Now, where do I think those footsteps were coming from?
You think they were coming from over on the east side of Troll Manor in one of these two bedrooms?
The real question is, do we want a strong transition between rooms? Do we want a gradual transition between rooms when we think about the color palette of this floor?
I actually favor rather bold colors for the guest rooms. It will give it more
bold characters. Colors are in season right now.
They are. And
wouldn't it be great if we could have like a green room and a pink room? And
yes.
This well, as common, long as they're complementary.
This common room could be, depending on how moody we want it to be, could be a strong color as well, or it could be something fairly neutral and welcoming.
No, so I think something a nice kind of like upscale gray would be nice in here as we transition to the other rooms.
It could be... Sorry.
There's a knock on the front door.
Oh. I will walk out of the kitchen and over to the front door.
All right. You open the front door, and you find a brief... Or like a piece of paper that's folded up like a bird.
And then I will lean down and pick up the bird.
You have no idea how it knocked.
I look up and down the alley to see if I can spot anything.
Nope. I mean, there's, you know, there's people outside walking around. There's a couple people sitting on their porches nearby. But no, that's all you see.
Well, I'll shut the door as I pull the bird inside, and I'll take a closer look at it.
Seems like there's something written on it.
I'll definitely unfold it.
Right? It says, to Zasper.
So I think in this room we should have perhaps a bold color transitioning away from the gray.
I like that.
So green for this room, then?
Something weighty.
Forest green.
Yes, and then we can have items that pop out against that sort of background.
Now, as your DM, I do want to put a small thing in there. Do you guys plan to live here? And if so, do you wish to claim some of these rooms for yourselves?
I thought we were renting these out.
We haven't figured it out yet.
Oh, well, in that case...
I just wanted to put that consideration out there.
Yes. Zasper wants to live here. But not if it'll compromise it as an economic entity. The one thing Zasper will not compromise is his stage.
There aren't actually that many bedrooms here, so if we all each take a room, we're really going to end up with a very few to rent out.
That is true, but it might be too much to take on trying to do both food and hostelry at the same time to start with.
So this would purely be a restaurant.
It might be easier if we start out simply as a restaurant and then maybe do rooms later once we have enough money to get nice rooms for ourselves off campus. Right now I don't have any place off campus other than your futon.
So perhaps a restaurant specializing in breakfasts of a very savory nature?
Perhaps.
Anyways, let's not keep our guest waiting. Which one of these doors do I think the footsteps were coming from?
Either one of these two bedrooms on the east side of the second floor. Though, you can tell from the architecture. So while this might have been the first floor was certainly the area for the stage, for
yes.
food and drink. The second floor, this is a den.
Mm-hmm.
The room on the far west side is a den that has a patio that overlooks the road. So it's a pretty nice place to hang out and relax. The room in the center of the second floor is a common room. So that would be the place where it had like trencher tables for people to eat. But also if people wanted to just lay down on the floor in their bedrolls in front of the fire, this is where that would occur. Past that, you have 9 bedrooms, I think.
Depends on the type of establishment we wish to run.
Well, I mean, it's certainly possible that we claim some of the upper floors and leave the lower floors to guests. Let us see if we can get some paint opinions from the ghost.
Yes.
The southern door,
excellent.
A dark, gloomy, dust-filled room.
But this place will get southern light, so I think maybe something a little bit brighter to favor that.
So I'm going to flip the paper over to see what's on the back.
Well, you just see the first line of text that says to Zasper. The next paragraph reads, Rainier tells us you're a good bet. He bought tickets for you to the opera tomorrow night in the Lightsinger Theater in the Seaboard. If interested, meet Mert at intermission. Private box C, formal attire is required for admittance.
So with my insight, I'm gonna see if I can't divine any hidden meaning from the letter that I now have in my possession for any sort of secret organization messaging.
Well, it does specifically say, Rainier tells us that you're a good bet. Us is not defined, but included in folded up in the paper bird are 5 tickets to this to an opera called The Fall of Tiamat. You think something secret's going on here, but yet hard to say who.
Sure. So I'm going to take a moment to listen up the stairs to see if my friends are still chatting about ghosts and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like it.
At which point I'll pull out a piece of paper, copy mm-hmm. down the note, and send it off to... I will step out the door to get a delivery boy to send it to my contacts within the
Order
of the Gauntlet.
Okay. Sure. So, upstairs you hear a door open and close, probably hear Manny talking to someone in the street. It's easy enough to find a letter carrier even at this hour of the evening.
Sure. I send a sealed message to my contacts at the Order of the Gauntlet.
For reference, your contacts at Order of the Gauntlet include, but are not limited to...
We're all friends here. What's mine is his.
Right?
Look, I've got a job here.
A Knight of Tyr. Mail. A Knight of Tyr named Savra Bellabranta.
Okay.
I will put that on a card here in a moment. And she, like I said, she is Knight of Tyr.
Would she be my direct report for this sort of, hey, here's something that might be interesting, but it's not my job to determine that?
Yeah, absolutely.
There you go.
She's kind of a low or middle management for Order of the Gauntlet, so.
Sure. And then I'll fold up the first letter, wrap it around the tickets, and leave it on the bar with the to Zasper.
Okay.
And go back into the kitchen to figure out where I'm putting my still.
So, still science. Stills need heat and fire, and so...
Well, it's gonna be a hell of a time getting it down into the basement.
Well, the basement isn't particularly ventilated well. There's a pretty good spot, you know, right here, that of course you could put your still in this garret window, where, you know, it would have everybody everywhere could look at the bright copper kettle of your still, and it could really be a centerpiece for the inn if you put it there and, you know, maybe put a continual flame torch or something there to give it light all times. And
I'm sure Malagar will love it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Because nobody surely had anything else they wanted to do with that kind of spot in the garret anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely not a pole that went from the top floor to the bottom floor.
No, there's actually not.
Nor will there ever be.
Right? Well, I mean, the ceiling height on the first floor is pretty tall. It's like got a 15-foot ceiling. So it's a very big space. But the garret area is capped off by the den that is above it. So, fair enough.
Well, I feel like the ghost is not going to give us any paint recommendations.
Well, why don't we just put these chips up over here, and it can really just tell us which one it prefers.
Very well.
No harm in it, I suppose.
I'll just lean a couple of the ones that Corbin and I have picked out. As I think this is it's red, but not too red for this room.
And it does a good transition.
Yeah, so we'll just put these three down and just knock down whichever ones you don't like, Mr. Poltergeist. Oh, Mrs. Poltergeist.
I do like that purple. It is surprisingly strong.
Let's do purple in a different room, shall we?
I'm not saying in this room. I'm just saying I like the purple. Yes. I hope we get to use it.
Yes, the plum really pops. Let's...
One of the paint chips falls over. A bit of breeze. Window in here is broken. Anyway.
Which paint chip?
Yes, that's the more important part.
Yes, the brightest red.
Oh.
Gets knocked down.
I didn't really like that much either.
That's fair. That's fair, Mr. Ghost.
Few would be able to withstand such an intense red.
Now, you do recall the ghost is named Lith, L-I-F.
That's fair enough, Mr. Lith. That's fair enough. I guess you're not into the stronger colors. That's fair. We will be more than happy to follow your color recommendations.
Just as a point of
order. Well, to a point, we're all equal agents.
No, we're all equal agents, but he gets to have a say.
Just as a point of order, I believe that our resident bard has dubbed him Mr. Phantasm.
Are you upstairs?
No, but
okay. This is a point of order.
Just as a reminder to players present.
So
that doesn't mysteriously disappear from our recording.
Through the course of the tales that Zasper has told, poltergeist has negative connotations. You don't, they're generally troublemakers and stuff.
Why don't we just use his name?
It's a little, we haven't really formally been introduced yet. I mean.
Am I calling him by his first name?
Former Waterdavian?
I'm not calling him by his first name.
Let's try this north room, shall we?
Yes.
Malagar goes over and throws open the door.
Bam! You throw open the door. Both windows are broken in the north east.
We'll have to do something about that.
Obviously.
And a breeze kind of skirls through the room. The spider webs kind of sway back and forth in the night breeze.
There are not spider webs in this room.
Oh, you cleaned them all.
We have spent all day cleaning this place.
I thought you cleaned only the first floor.
No.
First and second. Gotcha.
We have removed spider webs from all floors.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Or did you?
I mean, if there are spider webs, I would be surprised.
I mean, spiders are tenacious little creatures.
Sure, but
they're like the bamboo of...
Oh, bamboo.
Right, so the windows in the northeast room are both broken, so a night breeze skirls through the room. It is otherwise quiet. The floor creaks when you walk across it.
Well, I don't like that either. It's going to make too much noise. Plus... Then the bed makes the floor creak, and it's a bad carry through.
Well, now that we've brought the ghost into the process, perhaps we should go back downstairs. We might need to send a search party out for Khafra if we're going to get this paperwork done today.
That's true. It is getting late.
I'm also quite hungry.
I don't really disagree. But yeah, let's... Maybe this room will be purple?
Ooh, yes.
Yes. So just a few of these then. Malagar lays out four more purple, slightly lighter purples. This one's more, almost a lavender, in fact, it's so light. This one's very, very dark, heavy royal purple, perhaps.
I think the amount of light in this room can absorb a stronger color, so.
I agree with you.
You notice that one of the paint chips is moving?
Yes.
Twitching.
You like that one?
But it's not any of the ones you had suggested.
Oh. What's this then?
It's actually a rich, warm, reddish brown. Kind of like somewhere between oxblood and oak.
But the other room was red as well.
Well, maybe he wants a simple transition, but that's fine. Okay, we don't have to necessarily be bold in the...
Let's
in
go the with this one then.
Very well. All right. Very well, Mr. Lift.
Or maybe he's thinking we should do more of a suite setup where we have multiple rooms for... We have one, like, presidential suite.
Oh, I like
that's
it.
That's all red.
What's the name of this color?
It is called Warm Mahogany Red.
That sounds quite distinguished, doesn't it?
Yes.
I like it. Maybe we can use these purples in a different room. Sweep them up. And I put the mahogany red in that room. I like that. We'll have to come back during the day, but...
I think it'll be a good transition. It's a little more muted, but yes. If Mr. Lift would like a little more muted, we can certainly work with
what
that.
What about for accent colors? Something with a little bit of contrast then.
Zaspero head downstairs.
As the wagon pulls up, Khafra will reach into his purse and pull out a couple of shards, and then pull out a couple more shards, say, hang out for a minute or three. I'm going to see if they're here to help me get this unloaded.
If you're handing me shards, I'll hang out a minute or three. That's no problem.
That is what I just did. So as long as we have an accord, Khafra will go up the steps, up to look around this place.
Like, I mean, it looks a lot cleaner than you haven't been here yet.
This is my first time looking
at
this beast.
It looks a lot cleaner than you thought it might.
I'm looking at the outside. They clean the inside and upstairs. There's a shit ton of broken windows, all kinds of other crap.
Bunch of broken
windows. I am not impressed.
Bunch of broken windows. The front door is practically off its hinges. There's grass growing through the flagstones on the front porch. There's all kind of trash fetched up against the bushes here, which are in terrible need of trimming. They're very very kind of scraggly looking.
So Khafra will approach. This is what Thrilling Heroics earns us. Hooray.
Yeah, a cat nearby in the alley howls.
Oh, great. Hello?
Khafra.
Ruffians?
Khafra, is that you?
Oh, joy. I have found a ruffian. Hello, Manny. How are you?
Well, exhausted. That's how I am. Been cleaning all day.
Well, that makes two of us, only I wasn't cleaning, but we were both working. Where's Corbin?
I think the real question is whether we want to keep the library as is, you know, add some extra books, of course, and clean it up, or if we want to turn that into another room.
Corbin!
The three of us is...
Yes?
Why are you shouting, Khafra?
Because I'm downstairs and you're all over there, I guess.
We're headed downstairs. You can see our feet.
Yes.
How'd your last day of work go? Did you write a fancy resignation letter as a scrivener? I imagine you get judged on such things in your profession.
What in the Nine Hills are you talking about? Why would it be my last day?
I mean, sure.
Look, time is money. Come on, big, heavy, strong guy. How you feeling? He's gonna reach over and grab your bicep.
I'm fine.
Great, there's a big, heavy crate of stuff that we need to collect. Come on.
Malagar, what did you order?
No, this is not that.
But okay. One, well, will lead to the other.
Hang on. I ordered...
Malagar, what did you order?
I ordered many, many things. Thank you very much.
As inspiration flies across the table.
I go out and help Kafra unload the wagon.
Help Rice.
Rice!
Sure. Kafra helps by opening the doors, I guess.
Kafra does the DOT thing and stands and points.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So, where
I mean, he's carried all of this before, so this shouldn't be a problem.
No, it's
still way
wondering...
more than Kafra is ready to deal with.
I just wanted to know where you put it.
I have no idea.
Probably just inside the door, right? Like, right by the... Mm. Right now, that's where I'm going to put it.
Well, Zesper.
That's not the long-term storage location.
Zesper, that reminds me. That letter came for you on the bar there.
A letter? For me?
For you. At least it's got your name on it. Were you expecting something?
Well, my fans, to be fair, I haven't really gotten much fan mail before. I will go and I will read the letter. I imagine it is an invitation to an opera?
It is. It is an invitation to an opera. Called The Fall of Tiamat at the Light Singer Theater in the Sea Ward. As a bardic professional, the Light Singer Theater is very cheche. Super nice. Black tie.
And this opera was for tomorrow?
Tomorrow night. There are 5 tickets to The Fall of Tiamat. You're familiar with the work. It's been playing a few 10 days, so it's still kind of new in the run. It's sung in giant, describing the evil Dragon Queen's defeat at the Well of Dragons.
Friends, this is actually not particularly for me. This is an invitation to all of us to an opera.
An opera?
Yes. It sounds like our friend Rainier may have gone out of his way to maybe line up an investor, since he knows it's probably going to take money to get this in off the ground. Rainier was a decent fellow, so I suppose it's worth checking out.
I had no problems with Rainier. If he has arranged something for us, the least we could do is go listen. Mm-hmm.
It is a beautiful work of music.
Come, Coffer, let me show you the upstairs. We've selected some colors.
An opera doesn't really seem
Corbin,
like my sort of
I believe scene. We don't want to impose too late on the magistrate.
Oh, good point.
That is also a good point.
Did you bring the paperwork?
I do indeed have it.
Excellent.
Well, we should make our way to the magistrate then and make this official.
Indeed.
Well, what should we do with the giant box of money?
I will take it down to the basement.
Okay.
And if it disappears from there, we'll just be very angry.
Don't worry, I'm sure our ghost will lock anybody who goes down there in like he tried to do to us.
Kafra is going, once we get down there and get it into a place, Kafra is going to take out a spool of silver wire, and that way he can at least know to be disappointed rather than be surprised.
Have a point of inspiration for being super, super bleak.
Perhaps you should put your spell in a place on the stairs so that, because if they can see the box of money, they'll probably grab it and run even if it gets set off. But if it starts making noise when they open, they might just run from there and not take the money.
I was just going to have it mentally alert to me, but that works as well. Sure.
So, Coffer will, of course, 5 minutes in to setting the alarm spell, sigh and walk over and
roll
put it.
His yellow eyes.
I'm helping.
Grab that little place in the bridge of his nose. Just makes... Like, do the thing where he has to hang on to his own horns for a minute.
Yeah, and not quite that bad yet.
Okay.
But instead, we'll create it around the stairwell.
Okay.
To make a horrible noise.
It makes a horrible noise if what?
If a small or larger creature starts to go down the stairs.
The cats in the alley are rather plaintive.
I cannot wait until one of them sets this off. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
However, the other thing I will do is entreat Lady Fiona to show up since it's dark and I'm tired, and that way she can hang out and watch to see if anybody comes in, and then I can know.
How mad is she?
I mean, the good news is it's been like 2 months, so she's still angry, but she's not to the point where she's like pecking at my fingers.
Okay. Poof. Lady Fiona appears in a poof of fey smoke.
I think it's rather obvious that it's infernal
smoke. Oh, infernal, yeah, duh, like, sorry. In a poof of brimstone scented smoke, and looks at you with irate yellow eyes.
Yes, yes, I know. If you could just hang out here and let me know if anyone comes in that isn't these people that you already know, that would be great.
Her her posture and her the set of her wings indicates that she will certainly weigh the merits and advantages of doing that very thing.
Right. Good on you, Lady F. I'll see you later. Kafra will kind of slink away. Right.
So, off to see the magistrate then.
Her name is actually Kylene Silverhelm, and you need to have Volo live and in person as well.
Well, then, we'll just collect Volo.
So we catch a carriage back to the Yawning Portal.
So you take a carriage over to the Yawning Portal. By this hour, it is a wild night in the Yawning Portal. There's apparently something terrible must have happened here earlier because there's a big spill of blood and like kind of chairs put around it to keep people out of it on one of the edges of the lip of the Yawning Portal itself. At the moment, it seems like everybody's having a party.
Is that everyone, include Mr. Volo?
Yes, the bard, Three Strings, is playing a super funky song. People are dancing and cheering. And Bonnie is running around like a cat with her tail on fire trying to get drinks to everybody. Volo has a spot near one of the big fireplaces and is talking animatedly to a group of people gesticulating wildly.
Volo.
He turns around. Oh, Corbin, my friend, it's so good to see you. How have you been? What do you think of the Troll Skull Alley Manor?
It's fascinating.
Fascinating. That was not the term I thought I was going to hear, but I'll take it. I'll take it.
It's definitely haunted.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Much yes. To our surprise, you were right.
Why should that be surprising, Zasper? My feelings are hurt. I'm your friend, and this is how you repay me?
You are our friend.
So, Volo, we need to go talk to the magistrate to finish our transaction.
Oh, yes, we absolutely do. Her name is Kylene Silmerhild. Magnificent woman.
Yes.
It's a little late, but I do know what kind of wine she drinks. If you'd like to pick up a bottle.
I think that might be best if we're going to interrupt her this late.
Yes. He scampers off to the bar and points at you and then talks to Durnan, and Durnan kind of shakes his head and then turns around and leaves. Comes back a few minutes later with a bottle that he's blowing the dust off of.
That's an expensive bottle there.
Yes, it is actually a fortified brandy that is from somewhere even south of Calachan. Well, here you go, Volo. Volo's like, oh, yes, yes, yes. And then he turns to Corbin and says, that'll be 5 gold pieces, and points at Durnan.
Corbin reaches into his bag and kind of slowly counts out 5 dragons. And hands them over to Durnan and takes the bottle of alcohol.
Volo, I can't help but notice you. It seems as though doing business with you is costing us more money than it is you.
Well, I did win that house at auction for a large price.
Let us finish our transaction here. And then we can begin our empire.
Empire it is. That's wonderful news. What kind of empire are you starting?
Well, haven't you heard the
a
news?
A hospitality empire, clearly.
Mm-hmm. When a paladin of Kellenvor talks about a hospitality empire, I get a whole different meaning than I think. What were you saying? He points to Manny, because clearly that conversation's going to be more fruitful.
Well, haven't you heard the news now? Apparently we go by the Trollsbane Hotelier Consortium.
Trollsbane Hoteliers Consortium. That's new.
Yes.
That's new. I have not Not heard that one.
Courtesy of Zasper.
Yes, tell your friends. We'll be open for business as soon as we can be. With hearty breakfast foods, at the very least.
All right. He steps out into the street and whistles up a very nice cab to take you all over. Obviously, it's a six-seater at that point. And it's got, like, kind of like black velvet trim on the inside and some actual silver kind of like piping along the cushions, and the driver is a beautifully attired human woman who says, "Oh, please come on, come on." It's pulled by three really beautiful dark brown horses that have like tassels on their tack. Like, it's a very nice ride. Clearly Volo will spare no expense.
Especially not his own.
Perhaps we should stop having Volo pick things.
Well, soon enough we'll be done with this process, and then we can stop having Volo pick all the things.
Oh, you can afford a small ride in a nice cab?
We have paint and cooks and
what?
Wood to buy.
Oh, sure. That'll be no problem. And he directs the cab driver to take you across to the castle ward, or across the castle ward to the other side, and it pulls up in front of a beautiful row house that has actual magical lanterns on the front of it that flicker with kind of red and yellow flame. And there's a carving across the door that says Silmarhelve, which is the magistrate's last name. It's like, well, here we are. And he steps out of the cab and walks straight up to the door.
I will pay the lady.
That'll be 2 shards, please.
I will give her 3 shards.
Thank you. What was your name again?
Zasper.
Zasper. All right. Pleasure doing business. Shall I wait? Is this going to be long?
Do not wait. I have no idea how long it will take.
All right. Sure.
You should really have cards drawn up. That way, every time someone asks, you can start referring. And then every time you extravagantly tip like this, we can start building up our network of advertisers and build word of mouth.
Cards, that is a fantastic idea, Kafra. Is that something that your contacts from your previous job can help us with?
Wait, I don't understand.
Wait, what's previous job?
Corbin walks up to the door and knocks on it.
Volo's like practically dancing foot to foot. Oh, Kylin. She's a really wonderful woman. Magnificent woman. After a moment, a manservant opens the door. Can I help you? He says, looking at the crowd on the doorstep. Volo says, yes, please tell the magistrate Silmarhell we're here for a very, very brief imposition on her nightly revels. The doorman kind of looks at the six of you and says, please come in. And you're shown into an elegant sitting room with kind of stuffed dark purple chairs and beautiful paintings on the wall of a tiefling family.
Zasper will fiddle with his clothes and try and put himself in good order.
Okay.
How comfortable are the chairs?
Modestly comfortable. Like, not like sink in, hard to get up out of comfortable, but not like super uncomfortable chairs.
Malagar, we should find chairs like this for the inn. This would be lovely for the common rooms. These things are so comfortable.
They look rather expensive.
Perhaps
they look super expensive.
Perhaps you could inquire of the magistrate where he obtained these.
She.
I'm sorry.
Tell me about the tieflings in the pictures.
So it looks like the matriarch of the family is a almost gray-blue skinned tiefling woman with long silver hair back in a ponytail and kind of a stern look on her face. She's assisted or got her arm around another tiefling woman who's kind of small, kind of pink skinned with circling horns. They have 3 or 4 little chillin' tieflings in front of them in a variety of shades, shapes, and genders. After a moment, a tall woman with blue-gray skin and tiefling horns that poke kind of straight up out of her long silver hair, she's coiffed beautifully, comes in. She's probably maybe in her 80s. She looks at the six of you and says, "Oh, Volothamp. How may I help you people?"
"Yes, we have some business to conclude with Monsieur Goddam that we would like to have officially done by a magistrate, and then we can get out of your hair and horns."
"Only Vola would bring it to my own personal residence in the middle of the night."
"Of course, but he did bring a gift."
And I pull out the bottle of alcohol that we had required for her.
She looks at it and then reaches into a pocket, pulls out a pair of silver spectacles and puts them on the tip of her nose. "Ah, you're a flatterer, Goddam. Well, so what actually do you need done?" And Bolo's like, "I am giving them the writ to Trollskull Manor." She looks at the five of you. "He's not selling it to you, is he?"
"No, it is."
"No.
It's haunted.
We did a service for him, and he is giving it to us for that service."
"So in a matter of speaking, he did sell it to us."
"Yes.
Yes.
Only not for monetary payment."
"Ah.
The ghost is actually quite a companionable fellow."
"And?"
"He has very specific color preferences."
"Yes.
Huh. All right, as long as I don't think you're getting swindled in this deal."
"No more than
usual."
"Usual, I suppose."
"Yes.
If you're entering in it of your own free will, if you will pause just a moment, I will have to cast a brief ritual." So she starts, she goes back into the back and then comes back with a variety of magical implements and starts doing a ritual casting, which Coffer can identify as detect magic.
Okay.
She's like, "If you'd all please step into this area."
"Of course."
"I just want to make sure." She kind of puts her thumbs together and points her fingers up so it forms kind of a U-shaped frame in front of her face. "I just want to make sure none of you are under mind-altering magic. Oh, you do have some rather," she points to Maligar, "unfortunate liens, don't you?"
"Yes, but they're not so much mind-altering as fiduciary locking."
"Right, right. All right, well, it looks legitimate to me. Where's the paper?"
"I am pleased to know I'm not under any mind-altering magical effects."
"It's good to know."
Kafra draws it out, unfolds it.
Looks at it. "Well, the writ is good, all right." She goes to a writing desk on the other side of the room, pulls out a long red and black quill, scratches her name into it, finds a candle, lights some wax, drips it on there, and puts her seal on it as well. "Well, congratulations. You five are the new owners of Trollskull Manor, officially. That will be 25 gold pieces."
We all look at each other like...
Volo spends this moment to look at his nails excessively as if... that one's quite broken. Get a new
Kafra quickly looks it over and makes sure that somehow magically all of our names are on it since he didn't ever sign. Like, we had
it
the
just,
paperwork.
It just has your name on it.
Okay.
It doesn't even require, the only signature required is hers.
Got it.
"Perhaps it can be our first collective act as the Trollsbane Hoteliers Consortium to each contribute 5 gold pieces towards her fee as I cannot pay the full amount."
"Wait. Oh, that's an excellent idea," says Bolo.
"I count out 5 dragons and hold them out in my hand."
"Oh, by the gods, I'll just... Here. I was going to use this for my seed money, but I suppose this is as good as expense as anything for a business. And I'll pull out a bag of various golds and silvers, pulling out 25 gold pieces, not all of which are in dragons."
"Sure."
"And hand them to her."
She counts
well,
them
going
one
to be kind
at
of symbolic.
Time.
"Yes, I thought we were each going to pay 5 here."
"So now I feel like we all owe Manny, at least until we get the trade bar settled."
"Manny, your generosity is...
excessive."
"It makes me a little uncomfortable. I'd like us all to be, you know, equal in this.
Right, but it's gonna be interesting when I propose a couple of ideas for y'all. I just want you to have a flexible set frame of mind for it, especially when it comes to my still. I don't think it's gonna fit in the kitchen or in the cellar.
You're saying you're going to need to purchase somewhere off-site to house your still? That'll be inconvenient for you.
I was thinking more of the common room. Have it like a centerpiece or something for everybody to gaze
upon. The tiefling looks at the six of you and says, can you have this conversation literally anywhere else?
Well, if you have a drawing room or...
Out.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I thank
out.
You for your service.
Yes, thank you very much.
Yes.
Once we're outside, Kafra will lean up against the wall and will work on pulling his right boot off. And then we'll pull out two towel and a dragon and hand them over to Manny so that he's at least paid off with stinky tiefling foot money.
It would have been embarrassing to have to do that in there, wouldn't it?
I was about to, but then you went all, I can take care of this. So yes. I wasn't going to steal your thunder at the time.
I will pull five dragons from my money belt and I will hand it to Manny.
So the alarm spell was purely sonic, not mental?
Yeah, so the only issue here is that if something has gotten in there, then the idea is that Fiona would fly off in the direction that she knows that I am, and then within 100 feet can telepathically tell me, hey, you're fucked, because there's nothing I can do, because it's not like I can get back there within any amount of time to stop anything from happening.
Fiona is capable of doing one... vicious mockery worth of damage, isn't she?
Yes.
I mean, probably. And that is about it. And they'd kill her, and then I'd be up all up Schitt's Creek again, so...
No, that is true. She is irreplaceable. And by that, of course, I mean...
Quite replaceable, yes, as long
expensive.
As I'm willing to suffer for it.
Yes.
So
also expensive.
Manny, his 5 gold.
Nobody knows from whence Malagar produced that gold.
What?
Yes.
The only gold that smells worse than Kafra's foot gold.
It's just warm.
Why is it warm?
It's been safe.
Oh. Well, I'll take it and put it into my bag with the others.
We'll keep them warm.
Oh.
So now we look for another carriage.
Conveniently, the woman that Zasper tipped 50% of the bill is right there.
Oh, that's what a coincidence.
I see that didn't take very long at all. Need another ride? Back to the yawning portal? Things are just getting riled up there tonight, I'm sure.
Well, that does sound like fun.
You enjoy that. I'm going to get this thing called sleep.
I'm going to do the same.
Would you like to come to our spend the night in our new property? We slept there yesterday and it was quite pleasant.
Well, earlier today.
Same difference.
Sure, we'll make it a sleepover party.
Fantastic.
Well, y'all are no fun. I'm going to go to the Yawning Portal for just one last drink and then I'll be home.
I need to go to the Yawning Portal. He says, hopping into your carriage.
Well, with Lakamoto, I begin walking towards Troll's Bane.
Well,
Troll's Bane
Manor. How
about
I take Volo back to the Yawning Portal while y'all head back to the hotel, and we'll meet there a little bit later in the evening. Come on, come along, Volo.
Come on in, my friend, he says in the big fancy carriage.
No, we're going to let these fellows take this one. We'll catch the next one.
Okay, so he's kind of portly, gets his portly self out of the carriage, and is bouncing up and down on his toes. So tell me about the ghost.
Well, there's not that much to tell. He likes to write in dust and make strange noises. Did try to lock us in the cellar, but couldn't stand up to the might of Corbin.
Ooh, is he angry? What did he write?
Mostly get out. I think it was upside down when I saw it.
Do you think he'd be willing to do an interview?
The hell should I know?
Well, I mean, you're the one who's had Congress with him, not I.
You know, if you're gonna buy a house to do an interview with a ghost, next time you might actually try going in there.
Well, it was scary.
Well, why don't you tell me about it on our way to the bar?
Absolutely. So as Manny and Volo take the second carriage, not as nice a one, towards the yawning portal, what are Khafra, Corbin, Zasper, and Maligar doing?
Zasper was going to walk back to Trollsbane Manor, picking up some manner of street food on the way to eat.
Okay.
And then probably hope everyone actually shows up as they claim that they would, and we can just sort of have...
Let's take the carriage.
So you get back to the Trollskull Alley Inn, and it is as you left it. The front door is still kind of off its hinges. And you go inside, and it's, you know, the candles have burned down, but the fire is still going. You know when you get there, your alarm spell has totally been busted.
Miss Fiona?
She flaps down from a banister and lands on the bar and looks at you and goes, Who? Who? Who?
What's the problem with your familiar?
Nothing is the problem. What exactly came by?
Telepathically, she says, I didn't see anything. The spell just went off.
Right, of course. Well, at that point, Khafra will head down the steps to see what's down there.
Is something amiss?
I will follow.
It went off, but that's... She didn't see anything, and while she may be particularly perturbed with me, I do not believe it is capable for her to spin falsehood, such as the nature of our contract.
You head downstairs, you see nothing, looks fine.
Well, that is unusual. So something snuck past her, or
perhaps the ghost?
The ghost. I guess it could have picked something up and waved it around.
I mean, it could have just traveled through the alarm. I imagine it would go off if a ghost traveled through it.
Yes, indeed.
Really?
I'm not a wizard. I don't actually know, but...
I guess it could... I mean, dude... Let's just go with that. Excellent. You're the ghost expert, Corbin. So if you...
That's true. I am the ghost expert. You're correct.
And I imagine you probably have, you know, spells and wardings set up in the graveyards that you patrol that detect ghosts, so you're probably somewhat familiar with what they do and don't trip.
Corbin, you walk into the downstairs of this and something's not quite right. Something's been moved in here, or something's been moved in here.
Okay, I try to determine what it is.
All right, you start looking around and you realize the book of paint samples and the book of wood samples are nowhere to be seen. You clearly left them on the bar.
I walk upstairs.
Okay. You walk upstairs, the stairs terminate in the common room, and over on the far side of the common room, you see a paint chip leaning up against the wall.
I check the color.
It's kind of a nice gray-green. It's very calming. Very regal.
I check for the wood chip in here.
So you, as you start looking around, you find paint chips and wood samples, like pictures, like crown molding. Mm-hmm. Samples have been left in various places throughout the entirety of the inn.
Well, I guess we've
Mr.
got...
Mr. Lift, duly noted.
I guess we've got input from our silent partner.
Yeah, and in a couple cases, the paint swatches are torn in half. So that the same paint swatch can be in two different rooms. And in some places, there's like three different colors put up or four different colors put up.
We'll have to discuss where you think the accents will need to be with these accent colors.
No, your insight is enough where you get the impression it's like any of these colors will work.
Mm. It's like a palette.
Yeah. Ah, I see. Well, we have some input from our silent partner.
Like there's an echo in here.
That would solve all of our problems.
We'll go adventure. The ghost runs the hotel.
I
It's a brilliant idea.
Right, so you were going to show me the upstairs. I'm used to sleeping on a high floor now.
Of course.
Yes, it's, well, the paint samples are really the best part of it currently, but there's a bunch of rooms.
With a bunch of broken windows.
So I was thinking...
So why aren't we doing the garret again?
Well, the garret, I mean, it's kind of not the best room.
If someone wants to sleep in the garret, someone's going to sleep in the garret.
Is it even enclosed?
Oh, it's absolutely closed.
Oh, it's enclosed. Yeah. So I guess...
It's high up.
It's enclosed. It has two windows on either side that have absolutely picturesque views of Waterdeep. It's got a door out to a 5-foot wide balcony that goes all the way around.
So a 360-degree toilet.
Or
that's rather what I was thinking.
Sure.
Plus, the higher you are up, the better it is for the celestial alignment for a sanctum, were I to want to do that.
I mean, I don't think any of us are going to fight you for the garret if you want to wizard it up there.
The only problem is that is a lot of stairs.
To be fair, I don't think they'll hurt you, Kafra. Scrivening is a very stationary profession.
Oh my god, Ronald Frankie, that was amazing. Have an inspiration point.
Stationary? The pun there?
Did you do that on accident?
I was still mid-spiel.
How is that really possible? How is that? Give me the inspiration point back. You don't get it if you didn't do that on purpose.
I did it subconsciously.
He still did it.
The pun is strong with this one.
Oh my god!
Right, well, I'll go check it out this evening at least.
And since we're probably going to be going on further adventures together, we can't have things like stairs be a... I mean, wait, that's a pretty... You know, we meet an old man, he comes into...
Jasper. Yes. Jasper. Stop.
Right.
I mean, our quest giver can be a comely maiden, I guess.
I'll see you in the morning.
Very well. We're all going to eat breakfast together. I'm looking forward to it. Assuming, of course, Maligar and Manny chill.
10 a.m., I head down to the common room and get into one of the sleeping pallets we have arranged. All
right. When you get down to the common room, you notice there's more wood in the fire, and it has been stoked up.
That's interesting. What?
Thank you, Mr. Lift.
Yeah, it must be Mr. Lift. Is it Lift or Lift?
Lift.
Lift. Mr. Lift.
Thank you, Mr. Lift.
Oh, it's quite cozy in here.
It's not super cozy because there's a lot of.
Zasper doesn't always say true things.
But fair enough. I just wanted to make sure you understood the actualities of the situation.
But still, when he's not crashing with Maligar, you know, he's generally like sleeping in stables and stuff.
Sure.
Some inns will let him have a room, but, you know, if they're not busy enough to have all their rooms full, then that means he's probably not getting a lot of coin singing there. So it's one of those things.
So the sleep goes without incident. And what time are you guys awake in the morning?
Zasper, 6 a.m. Time to start the training regiment.
I'll go buy groceries for breakfast.
He does the same thing.
We can start training tomorrow.
You're missing a day, and I jostle downstairs. Happy to be awake in the morning.
I will
ka-chunk, ka-chunk, ka-chunk.
I will very slowly follow Corbin.
I open the door and I see Manny laying there.
Yeah, he's got like a really nice poofy white goose down pillow and a thick green knitted blanket.
Huh. Well, what? I didn't win the pool. Does this count? He's not inside yet.
In that case, should we not wake him? I mean, at this point, we're all going to lose. How loud are your exercises?
I mean, I was going to not exercise here. I was going to run around the city.
Oh, run around the city?
Of course.
In full plate armor.
I'm only in chainmail.
Oh, yes, only chainmail. What was I thinking?
You have to be all being combat speed and armor. That's a part of the training regimen.
What the bloody hell are you two doing in my room? Get out! I'm gonna turn around in my blanket and pillow.
Well, that was a mistake. And I walk to the kitchen and get a jug and fill it with water.
So there are no jugs in the kitchen, unless you brought one. And the thing that gives you water is busted. So, other than me,
I look at the kitchen. Stunned, totally perplexed I'm in this situation.
Did you buy a jug yesterday?
We may have a jug, but I mean, if the water's broken, then
I walk upstairs to my. I shouldn't sleep down here. I walk over to my kit, and pick up my water skin. Mm-hmm. Walk over to the door. Stand over Manny and empty the entirety of it on him.
By the gods, what? Bloody earth had gone on. Oh. Bloody Hellman, no.
Hell Rise and shine.
Womat, man, do you want to go get groceries with me or do you want to run around the city in chainmail?
Your choice.
Well, I could probably use a good run, but why would I do it in chainmail?
Something about combat speed.
Oh, he doesn't wear armor in combat. Come on, Manny. Let's go for a run.
Okay. And I'll kind of get up, like, just perplexed as to where I am and why I have a green blanket. But I'm going to go running with my blanket.
It's a very nice, woven, thick blanket. I mean, the Waterdavian knitters have to knit really thick blankets because it's very, very cold here in the winter.
You have to bloody run so fast, though.
Come on, I know you can run faster than me, Manny. Let's go.
Okay. And I'll trot along behind Corbin.
I'll drag the bedding inside, and then I'll go buy sundries for breakfast.
Two of you morning joggers here pass a rather,
it's going to help me metabolize. That's really the best.
Yes. Pass come across a rather jaunty-looking Malagar who's wearing it. He's got a nice little beret on and a backpack just rattling full of various sketches and fresh etchings, really.
Morning, Malagar.
Ah, good morning there.
Look
who the cat dragged in.
I think I slept on a cat last night.
Oh,
no, you slept on the porch.
Right.
He also has a something paper.
What is that? What is that you have there, Manny? Let's see that. I grabbed the paper.
It is a... it is the back of a shopping list.
Ah.
Sack
of onions.
Right.
Pint of cream.
But on the back of chops. It says, really, thanks, Bonnie.
Oh, Bonnie. Bonnie must have helped you.
Mm.
Sweet girl, that one.
Yes, here. You should keep that.
Oh, thanks.
I think it's got your shopping list on the other side.
No, I mean, it's clearly a yawning portal shopping list, because it's consumed mass quantities.
2 pounds of pork chops.
Well, why wouldn't you?
I do enjoy a good pork chop.
According to this, they go through about 8 dozen eggs a day. Do we have that sort of thing for our breakfast yet?
Probably something that we'll have to consider when we are serving breakfast.
Come on, Manny, we gotta finish our run.
Enjoy your run!
We should find a chicken farmer or something.
Be careful.
We continue running.
Be careful what you say, Manny, or you might end up outside the city looking for a chicken farmer.
It's okay, I've got my trusty blanket.
After about a half an hour, we will return to the inn, having both exercised the morning.
I will have secured bread and butter and sausages and maybe something fruit-like. Still a little extravagant.
When we return, I'll say, Malagar, have you checked the upstairs?
No.
Our partner has made some recommendations. I think they're rather on point.
You mean with regards to colors and...
Just go see. Be aware, I did none of it.
Our man Volo did say that he was a ghost of the former owner. Perhaps he has still got an interest in the property.
It seems that way, yes.
How was your run, man?
But I've had better.
Excellent. Well, I'll head upstairs. I'm sure Zasper isn't back yet with breakfast, is he?
Oh, is Asper coming with breakfast?
Well, that's what I heard.
Well, I'll start to cook fire then.
And around then I'll show up as they're disappearing upstairs. Russell Coffer out of bed. We don't want him to be late for his job.
Good point. Sorry, yes. I headed to the garret.
Sure.
Just as Coffer is coming down.
Yes, excellent.
You look well exercised.
Of course.
There's not really wood for a cook fire. In fact, there's not really any wood left at this point. That is yet something else you will have to buy. Mm. But you managed to get one of the fires lit enough with the remaining kindling and other wood to heat up a pan of eggs. The sausages make that delicious sausage smell that wafts through the entire building, though it's diluted out quickly from the breeze from the broken window. Generally, it smells like a really lovely breakfast. And then you hear on the front door.
I'll get it. I go over and open the door.
All right, you open the door and you see kind of a slack-jawed, dead-eyed lump of a man who's dressed in like rough leather pants, tough leather boots, a white shirt that's stained with brown stuff, and a leather apron. He says, "My name is Justin Rask of the Guild of Butchers. And I heard you were going to open the inn."
I think that was one of the plans, yes.
He's a big dude, and he's got scars all up and down his arms. He's pretty well muscled.
We don't really have a date for the actual opening yet, you see.
When you are ready to open it, then I will deliver monthly a load of meat for your guests.
What do you do for the vegetarian restaurants?
I'm with the Guild of Butchers. He repeats as if you were a little slow. Don't do a damn thing for vegetarians.
I see. Well, we'll keep that in mind as well. Thank you.
He just stands in the doorway.
Should you not perhaps ask him for some samples so that we can know what to order?
Samples of meat?
Yes, of course. We'll have to have them tended to by our chef.
That's true. Yes. Do you offer meat samples?
I can be back this afternoon with samples. They'll cost 3 dragons.
3 dragons?
Very well, my good man. I'll give him 3 dragons.
I will be back this afternoon.
The Trollsbane Hoteliers Consortium looks forward to a prosperous meat-based relationship with you. I assume you do specialty cuts?
If you pay extra for them, yes.
So your expertise is not included in the price? We'll just be getting halves of animals if we don't pay extra?
No, you will be getting cuts of meat. If you pay extra, you may have special cuts of meat.
Great.
Justin stands there in the doorway and says, "You will also have to have someone from management join the Guild of Butchers."
Wait, we have to have someone join the guild so that we can receive the meat?
Industrial quantities of meat.
It is quite possible that whatever chef we retain will already have such credentials. It'll be one of the things that we look for. Thank you for bringing it to our attention, though.
He blinks at you slowly a couple of times and continues unperturbed. Guild membership is 1 gold piece per month or 50 gold pieces lifetime.
Right. Quite a deal. So if I joined the butcher, could I sell the meat to myself?
Like, that was not a question he expected to answer. Like, you could hear the record scratch in his head.
What kind of quantities of meat would you be interested in purchasing from our establishment?
You're not that part of the Guild of Butchers, he says suspiciously.
Wait, so you're saying that we would join the guild, but we wouldn't have full rights?
You would have the right as someone who buys from the Guild of Butchers and has some say over guild dealings. I'm sure you can take that up with the guild master.
This is all very confusing. I'm glad you're here to set us straight.
Yes, well, excellent. Thank you so much.
He stands there expectantly, as if he expects a tip or something.
I mean, I already gave him 3 freaking dragons. I'll just leave the door open and go eat breakfast.
Zasper, I think he's waiting for a tip or something.
Did you want some eggs? We have some here.
No.
Perhaps we need some toast?
No. I already ate.
Oh, of course.
Makes sense. Early deliveries and all.
Well, in case you want a snack later, perhaps a hand pie of some type here, you should have this. And Kafra will give him a shard and kind of close the door that's most left. And just be like, yes, have a great day.
You close the door, but like he takes the money, but he closes the door and he like doesn't move. I mean, he's not in the doorway. I mean, you can close it, but closing the door does not cause him to back up like a normal human being would.
Right, well, enjoy your day. We'll look forward to the samples. Bye.
Click. Door's closed. All right, after a moment, you can hear his big boots thump off the porch.
Well, that was a strange one.
That was strange. So we should decide what we're going to do about fixing the plumbing here. There's only so many days where I can just prestidigitate myself back to...
cleanliness.
Yes.
Well, we are gonna need some.
Let us not discuss such things during breakfast, but I... do believe that plumbing will most likely be a priority we all have.
We'll need it for the still, most definitely. By the way, Melagar, I wanted to speak to you about that.
What?
Come take a look. Let me paint you a picture as I bring Melagar over to the prime real estate. So this highlights a stage area in the shape of an octagonal wing of the main floor. Let me paint you a picture here, Melagar. Through all these windows, we've got a nice brass still that could be cleaned every day and really show off our product to the people coming in. They'll know that our inn, this inn, has not only the best breakfast in town, but the best ales and drink.
I thought you made liquors and stills.
Well, you can make a lot of things in a still. It just takes a little bit of ingenuity.
But don't you brew ales and beers?
Why, are you trying to limit me to just one thing?
No, I'm just asking a question.
I mean, I definitely do brew ales and beers, but with a still, I could do all sorts of liquors. We could all supply it in-house. But even if we did something, say, more about the process, just to really highlight how good our drink is.
That's interesting. I think you should make it first.
The still?
The drink.
I need a still to do that, so as you can see, I'm in a bit of a pickle.
So get the still.
And where would I put it?
In the basement.
Down that trap door?
Yes. Make the drink. When the drink is amazing, when people come and buy it, we'll put it here in the display window. Think of it as an inducement.
Right then.
I have faith in you. You'll have this window within a month.
Whatever you do, I kind of pull you closer so that Zasper can't hear.
What's happening?
Don't turn this into a stage in the meantime. It would be a shame, or a waste at least.
Why did you think I was going to turn this into a stage, Manny?
I don't know, but I feel like Zasper might be eyeing this for a place to have his stage for his performances.
Oh, I see. Well...
Wait, what did you think I was talking about?
Well, I actually rather imagine that if we opened the first floor to the second floor and installed a pole that ran all the way from top to bottom, it would be the most amazing spectacle for quite a long distance. But that's neither here nor there. Let's see which product is more popular, and that is one that we'll highlight on behalf of our little operation here, whether it be Zasper's performances or... the still, which I'm sure gleaming and beautiful, creating this product that people are so interested in. will draw a crowd. But the product of the still must be the thing that makes them want to come and see it. No one just wants to watch a still go and make a subpar, you know, liqueur.
Right. A pole.
Right, if I could all borrow your attention for a moment, we should decide if we're going to this opera tonight or not.
Ah, excellent.
I have an evening free, so why not?
I would be interested in hearing Rainier's contact out, and I think it would be a weighty decision, so it might be best if we're all there if we can make time.
I do not think I have the right level of attire.
Nor do I, which is to say, if we're going to go, then some amount of coin will need to be spent on those things, and we are sitting on a rather large pile of trade bars that we should...
Maybe those should be put into a bank or something.
I can arrange for that as well. However, I didn't want to assume as such based on if anyone wanted to take their share and leave.
We have already committed ourselves to this common investment here. Why not have a pile of capital with which to drive it?
I does feel like this place is going to need some down payments to get up and shiny.
Yes, that's certainly true. Plus, we have the paintings we should decide if we want to keep or if I should try to find a buyer for.
Plus, what better way to turn a modest fortune into a even smaller one than to attempt to start a business without any real grasp of...
I agree completely.
Malagar, we have all eaten at inns before, so therefore, we're basically five experts.
Let me ask you a question, Zasper.
Yes.
Do you expect a man to come to this door and attempt to sell you meat this morning?
No, I did not.
Did you expect that man, with his demeanor and his force of will, to make you buy only meat from only that guild?
Well,
I don't know that we'd want to keep those paintings. We've taken them from some pretty powerful folks.
Right, I mean, I wouldn't want to display them on the ground floor, and they could be worth a pretty penny if we wanted to spend them on, oh, say, getting fucking running plumbing.
I would imagine that we should probably sell them. We have a need for coin more than we have a need for pretty paintings.
Malagar, are you better suited to finding a buyer for these pieces, or are they something I should take care of, given that they're somewhat out of your aesthetic general design?
I'd be happy to look for a buyer for them, but if you wish to go peddle them, be my guest.
How about you handle these, and I'll handle getting the banking set up for the trade bars so that we can spend them more freely?
That sounds like a good plan.
Great.
Very well. I will get the trade bars, and we should take care of that post-haste. And perhaps we should get some clothing for this evening.
I will buy clothes for everyone.
Very well.
Don't worry, Kafra.
I, of course, trust you completely.
We already bought clothes for you earlier for the sewer expedition.
These will have to be very different clothes.
Do not worry.
Okay.
I've always watched people wearing nice, like really nice clothes, and we probably can't afford those. But we can probably afford things that won't look bad next day.
Join us next week for a new adventure. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Feats and Fables. If you'd like to support us, please visit our Patreon at patreon.com/featsandfables. Or to delve deeper, visit our website at featsandfables.com. Our music is by Kevin MacLeod at incomptech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. This episode contained Fearless First, Heroic Age, The Forest and the Trees, Pippin the Hunchback, Juniper, Galway, and Memory Lane. Please be sure to rate and review us on iTunes. It really does help.